Why do we hunt? I mean, really, why? Well, I've seen ancient paintings on cave walls depicting hunters in pursuit of sustenance. Now, I'm not aware of any ancient cave paintings of vegetable gardens, though I could be wrong. So everyone knows it's in our genes. But is this the only reason why we hunt? On today's Angler and Hunter Radio, we will talk about just that. Why we hunt.
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
Brooke Schreier from Trent University is in studio to chat about the reasons why we hunt, what motivates and inspires us as humans, and Leslie Goodwin, Editor-in-Chief, Ontario Outdoors Magazine, drops in to give us her perspective on what inspires her to hunt. Plus, part four of what is going on with Ontario's moose management. Proposed changes may affect your 2015 moose hunt, 2016 season, and beyond. All this and more on a new Angler and Hunter Radio.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pizer here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk's fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.99%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP 900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.98%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 on select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Lucky Strike flat bottom fishing net, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, a Fox 40 classic whistle, a full-size package of fish crisp, a pair of Strike King sunglasses, and Team OFAH Camouflage Lumbar Pack. This membership package is a $245 value for $71.95. Care enough to join today.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Canadian Tire. Check out our new fishing and hunting pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores.
Welcome back to the voice of Ontario Anglers and Hunters, Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings, and we're talking about why we hunt with Brooke Schreier from Trent University.
So joining us today is Brooke Schreier from Peterborough. I believe you're from the Peterborough area?
Little Britain, actually.
Little Britain. Welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Okay, so we're talking about why we hunt today. And you have an interesting story to tell.
You're
not only a hunter, but you've kind of, why don't you kind of start right from the beginning and tell us how it's led you to where you are now and what you're doing right now. That should take about a half an hour or so.
Sure, sounds good. Yeah, somewhere along that line. So I grew up hunting. At a young age, my family took me out hunting. We hunted at Biederman's up towards Pembroke area until my parents, they purchased some property on Crystal Lake Road, Galway Road in Kimount area when I was about 14. So at a young age, I've been hunting since I was about six. You know, I'd go out, sit with my dad, sit with my mom. It was always interesting because when I was younger, I didn't really want to hunt. When I was young, it was like, they're forcing me to get up, go out and hunt, you know? So I was like, one of those
early
those early mornings. So you'd go out, lay against dad, lay against mom, take a nap, you know, sleep out in the wilderness. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So then as I got a little bit older, I decided, you know, this is something I want to do. So I got my license. I started hunting at the age of 18, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, I took the year off from school, and I decided to exclusively hunt, and that year while I was hunting, I kind of had an epiphany. I wanted to go into the environmental studies, and I wanted to protect our sport, our activity, our, you know, Ontario heritage. So after that, I got into the environmental studies program, environmental studies and resource program at Trent University. I graduated last year.
And congratulations.
Then, thank you. So I finished my undergrad in 2014, and then I decided to go right into my master's at Trent University in the Sustainability Studies program, and I decided to focus my thesis on the ethics and sustainability of hunting. That's built into motivations, so why people are motivated to hunt,
right?
And then from there, how those motivations influence ethics and sustainability of the sport. So that's basically where I am now.
And that is very interesting because, as you know, I'm a hunter education instructor, and probably one of the first things I ask the students, other than, you know, their names, in class, is, you know, why do we hunt? And I remember a student once saying to me, "Well, the way I see it is, and when I get hungry, something has to die." So I mean, everybody laughs, but then afterwards, you kind of take a bit of a breath and say, "Well, you know, he's right."
Unless you're a vegetarian, of course.
If you believe that vegetables don't die, or, you know, I guess
that is true.
And surprisingly enough, we have a lot of vegetarians, ex-vegetarians, coming into hunter education now. Did you know that?
I actually did, because at Trent University, I TA a course, environmental ethics, and a lot of my students are vegetarians. And since they've met me, and since I've discussed hunting with them and how to properly hunt, a lot of them are saying that they want to take the hunter education course and become hunters. So it's interesting.
And it's true, because the idea, and I never realized this, but for the idealism of a lot of people who are don't eat meat, is that they don't want to eat meat that's being processed commercially.
Absolutely.
But the idea of eating pure meat, which I believe venison is probably one of the purest forms of meat that you can get.
Absolutely.
It interests them.
So a lot of vegetarians are saying, well, I don't want to engage with the conventional meat industry, but I can engage with hunting because it's more ethical in the sense that I have to get out there, I have to get my own quarry, and then I have to, you know, process my own meat as opposed to other people doing it for me. So it's a more of a intrinsic connection between people and the land and their meat.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's one thing I guess we can't really separate is ourselves from nature, because without that, those three important elements like drinking water and air and shelter, we'd be nowhere.
Exactly. Something that people forget is that nature can survive without us, but we can't survive without nature.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah. That's interesting. So it goes without saying, if you want to get good pure meat, and that's what hunting's all about. But you know what? We're walking a fine line here, but hunting is not all about just eating.
No,
there's
it's
other
not.
Reasons. There's, what about genes? It's in our genes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, our ancestors hunted.
Yeah.
And they flourished. Well, it led to us. So, but yes, there's many different reasons for why people hunt, but there's many environmental reasons, there's lots of cultural reasons, there's even economic reasons, but there's a lot of social reasons as well. But something that people forget is that hunters aren't a hunter just for one reason. You can't be a hunter and only have one motivation, such as food.
Yeah.
You can't say that I hunt purely for food, because even if you do say that, there are still other reasons why you hunt.
I'd be a pretty skinny guy if that was the case.
Exactly. You're very skinny. But in terms of motivations, there's tons of them. So conservation is a big one with hunters.
Yes.
We love our sport. We love getting out there and participating in the hunt. But in so doing, we're protecting the species that we hunt. We help the MNRF do their data tallying at the end of the year through the...
Yeah, all of our surveys.
Thank you.
A lot of people say, yeah, but whatever. But you know what? How on earth would the ministry ever be able to count and know the population of, say, black bears and the general health of black bears in Ontario without hunters?
They wouldn't. They rely on hunters.
Yeah.
And not only that, but hunters also build up a lot of the funding that the MNRF receives.
Mm-hmm.
Hunting, fishing, those licenses, a lot of that money goes back to the MNRF to fund, proper conservation practices. It's engaging with an animal in such a way that there's not an unfair advantage. You actually have to go out and find that wild, native, big game animal. That's another big one. But then, of course, there is for food, as we discussed. Food is an essential, motivation for why people hunt. I won't get too much more into that because I think we covered that.
We did, but you know what? When you think of it, ancient peoples and even farmers, they've all worshipped the land and the animals.
Yes.
But even ancient peoples understood that as much as they hunted for their sustenance, that they worshipped it. And the reason why I say that is if you look at some of these paintings or whatever on cave walls and that, they have the pictures of these animals who they worship, because they knew without them they would certainly die, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and so we can't separate ourselves from nature, as I said. So there's a relationship. There's a giving and taking that happens with nature.
Yeah.
And we participate in that through hunting, which is very interesting.
Yes.
But besides that, there's also social reasons, as I alluded to before. Family, friends. It's fun to go hunting with family and friends. You just stop discussing the trials and tribulations of everyday life.
It's a great distraction.
It is. You stop thinking about work. You start thinking about, the stories that have to be told from past years hunting.
Absolutely.
Everybody comes together and you remember the stories from, Timmy or whoever that saw a deer 4 years ago in this spot.
Even when we were talking before we got into the studio today, you, and I always find with guests, they tell me their most memorable story.
Mm-hmm.
Your most memorable story involved a big deer that you never harvested. So if that wasn't what I would call necessarily a successful hunt, however, I would call it a successful experience.
Absolutely, yes. I purchased a compound bow this past year, and I went out practicing, tried to hone my craft, and the one morning I was sitting out, and a large buck came out of the woods, and it walked right towards me after I did a little bit of grunting and bleat calling, and turned broadside. I missed the shot, but you know what? It was one of the greatest experiences I ever had.
Yeah, and that's because, the first thing you talked about.
Absolutely, yes, because I got to see him scrape the tree. I got to see him, grunt, snort, wheeze. I got to see him stomp the ground at me. It was all those things that people don't normally get to see, which is truly an experience.
And at some point in time in your family tree, somebody was that close to nature. They lived among the animals.
Absolutely.
And this is something that you're doing for only a brief moment.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was a good experience.
Very
for sure.
Nice.
We will return with more Angler and Hunter Radio after these messages.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pieser here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need, from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.98%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP 900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.98%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 on select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to credit approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings. So why do we hunt? That is a topic of discussion today. And joining us with his research results, along with some personal perspectives, is Brooke Schreier from Trent University.
But yes, but so besides family and friends, there's also the camaraderie, right, with your compatriots. So it's awesome just to, not always, but there's always, you know, lots of women that hunt nowadays.
There really just, is.
Oh, there is for sure. My mother, for example, she hunts.
Nice. And,
even my girlfriend, she took up hunting. So,
very nice.
But it's just, sometimes it's just awesome just to be, you know, just guys going out into the woods, you know,
absolutely,
hunt camp, playing cards, doing those types of things. So that's also a great motivation. So another thing that you actually alluded to was spirituality. There's a sort of spiritual communion that you have with nature when you go out there and you sit.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit for 8 hours in a day, you can't help but notice this, you know?
Yes.
Just watching nature reveal itself around you, you becomes a part of something that's bigger than you. So then, in a sense, you develop this sort of spirituality that is separate from religion. It's almost a religion in itself, being part of nature and being out there hunting. It's just an experience that it's hard to find anywhere else.
It really is, and unless you've actually hunted and harvested an animal, you'll never realize that. And it reminds me of last year I had to go and get some paperwork done,
mm-hmm,
in a government building, and the clerk who was taking care of this stuff had to take some information from me that actually disclosed the fact that I was also the youth hunting coordinator for the OFAH,
mm,
to which she quickly got quite vexing with me.
Oh, really?
And said, you know, how dare you introduce young people to guns, and do you realize how horrible it is to watch an animal pass away, to watch an animal die. She said, how can you do something like that? And I said, I'm no different than you. Mm-hmm. When I harvest an animal, I feel remorse the same
absolutely,
as you do.
Absolutely.
Hunters feel all kinds of different emotions.
Absolutely.
And that's not the reason. I think there's some misconception there that, well, you know, we just want to go and kill animals.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's so far from that.
It is.
The idea that somebody, and this has only happened over the last couple of hundred years, that we've accepted the fact that we were going to just let somebody else kill our animals for us.
Exactly.
This whole fact that we're becoming closer to nature, you get closer to that animal. And unless you do it that way, I guess I'm trying to get a hold of that whole spiritual thing. Unless you're there, you don't know what it's like.
Exactly, yeah. And as you said, there is a misconception that non-hunters believe that hunters are interested in pain and suffering. That is the lowest motivation for anybody. Nobody is motivated to induce pain and suffering on an animal.
Yeah.
We are motivated in practicing, in getting the cleanest kill possible, and being the most ethical possible.
Yeah.
In general, I like to believe that hunters, we are ethical in the sense that we want the cleanest kill. We are not interested in pain and suffering. And that is some of the things that I'm trying to address through my thesis.
Right.
So, yes. So, besides spirituality,
yeah.
Other sorts of motivations is just taking up a hobby. You know, sometimes it's just nice to do something that's
out
of your comfort zone. Exactly. Yeah. Go get some exercise. Like we said, it doesn't depend on whether you're successful or not. You can be a successful hunter without actually killing a deer. You
know, absolutely.
You can go out and just enjoy nature. You can go out, go for a nice walk, get some exercise, you know,
yeah.
Enjoy the woods, breathe some fresh air. So it's interesting how you can.
And you know what? From where we are here at the OFAH, it's really interesting to every year we hear about, well, last year we had Mike Manet, 90 years old, on his 90th birthday shooting a buck.
Well, there you go.
So, and I am a strong believer that, the older lads that are still in the hunt camp, some of them up towards 100 years old.
Yeah.
Have that good health because of this hobby or this opportunity they have to go outdoors.
Absolutely. Well, it can't be understated.
Yeah.
Between the fresh air, the exercise, you know,
yeah.
Just looking forward to it every year. It gives you something to look forward to, you know.
Yeah.
So I can understand why it would keep people going, you know.
Yeah.
So besides that, there's also the big one is to understand nature, to get out there and watch nature reveal itself around you. You become aware of animals' movements, animals', you know, tendencies. It's so interesting when you see a deer come out for the first time, or when you see a bear come out for the first time, or even a moose, you know, it's so surreal because you can see them in the zoo, you can see them on TV, but you've never seen them until you've seen them out while you're hunting.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then one that you alluded to through the elderly gentleman is passing on heritage and traditions, you know, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time those gentlemen, they want to pass on their heritage. They want to pass on their traditions
yeah.
to somebody younger. And I've gone through that myself with, you know, my uncle, my father, my brother. Like, they've all passed on things to me that have made me the hunter that I am.
Yeah.
Whether those are good things or even bad things. Like, you know, sometimes there's negative things that happen, like an unclean kill. But those things, you learn from them. And then you hone those, and then you become a better hunter.
Absolutely. And the actual discipline of firearms and discipline of
absolutely.
Of bow hunting and actually learning to be safe and,
yes.
and
yes.
being safe in the woods. I mean, it still amazes me that we have almost 500,000 licensed hunters in Ontario and virtually no incidents. I mean, other than somebody tripping and falling or getting lost every
absolutely,
once in a while.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's quite rare to hear about a story where somebody was injured hunting. It does happen, but it's amazing considering the fact that we all have firearms.
Yeah.
And yet we're all trained properly and we learn so that we don't do these types of, you know,
yeah.
we don't cause these types of accidents.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a great point. So then another one is to escape from everyday life. You know, I did speak about this before.
Well, we talked about it briefly, but
yeah.
you know what? That sometimes I call it a distraction.
Yes.
But yeah, just to get away from everything. And I think everybody kind of needs to do that.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's a form of meditation.
Yeah.
When you go out there, you just don't think about things.
You don't.
And you think about hunting, and you think about the animals, and you think about the past experiences that you've had. And you think about that prospect of, you know, that animal coming out. So you're constantly on your toes. You're constantly, you know, excited to be there while not thinking about the trials and tribulations of everyday life.
I think what you do when you're out there, Brooke, is you live in the moment.
Absolutely.
The same way as animals do.
Mm-hmm.
And for any of our listeners out there, and you might laugh at this title, but you can probably YouTube this, watch it on YouTube. There's a video called My Life as a Turkey. And it's a funny title. I've watched it on public TV a couple of times. And it's about a biologist in the Midwest gets a clutch of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about putting them in a cage and raising them. He actually roosts with them, and he acts as their mother.
Oh, wow.
And the video in it is off the charts. Yeah. Slow motion shots of them eating grasshoppers. If you've ever seen a turkey strut when it's 7 weeks old, and how they react to changes in their environment. And the whole theme of this kind of comes to the end when they, you know, they eventually leave home and they go and do their own thing. But he talks about how people tend to live for tomorrow. We tend to, we save our money, we plan for this, we plan for that, whereas animals live for that one moment. And I think that when we leave this whole environment of planning for tomorrow and getting ready for tomorrow's meeting and filling the car up with gas and we get into the woods, we join those animals and we live in that moment.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
My life as a turkey. And in terms of hunting, and you're talking about bow hunting, Game of Inches is another one that's on Vimeo.
Mm-hmm.
And just a phenomenal video that really gives you a good idea of what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. To the new bow hunters out there, I have one recommendation, and that is to practice every single day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Something I cannot be overstated, because I didn't practice as much as I should have, and that is one of the reasons why
I
missed that buck.
Maybe, but you know what, too? Even the
it was meant to be. It was meant to be.
Really, really, isn't that so true, though?
It is. Yes.
It really is so true. Yeah. As outdoors people know that, and that's something that we all say to ourselves. Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. That's how we justify it.
The 300 bass tournaments I fished weren't meant to be.
So, okay, you'll have your time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, as concluding thoughts, in terms of motivations, I just want to make it clear that as hunters, we are not motivated centrally for the kill. We are not motivated to cause pain and suffering. We are focused on heritage. We are focused on, you know, spirituality. We're focused on camaraderie. We're focused on being ethical so that at the end of the day, we can have a clean conscience. Mm-hmm. So that's concluding thoughts.
Very good. And that's what you found so far. How much more time are you going to be spending on these?
good question. I'm hoping to be done in the next 6 to 8 months, hopefully. Right now I'm in the process of planning interviews, conducting interviews. I've already conducted a focus group. I've gone through a literature review. All the fun stuff that's built into a master's thesis. So
beautiful.
But yes.
Well, when you're done, we'll make sure we get you back in here again.
Sounds fantastic.
And if there's anything in between, any stories about deer or anything like that,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, give me a call and we'll get that done.
Sounds good.
Thanks for
coming
up.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on today, Randy.
Editor-in-Chief, Ontario Out of Doors Magazine, Leslie Goodwin, is in studio to chat about the reasons why she hunts. So don't go away. We will be back in a flasher with more Angler and Hunter Radio.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Canadian Tire. Check out our new fishing and hunting pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores. Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pieser here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need, from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? you could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.98%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.98%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 at select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings, and Leslie Goodwin, editor-in-chief of Ontario Out of Doors magazine, is here with me to talk about the reasons why she hunts.
How are you doing, Leslie?
I'm great. Thanks, Randy.
So we are talking today about why we hunt. And I mean, it's no secret, you're a newer hunter than I am. It's something, you know, that you've just started doing. And I'm just dying to ask you, other than the job, because I mean, just because it's something that you do for a living, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that you do after or before work. What encouraged you to get into hunting?
Absolutely, I got introduced to it through work. I don't come from a hunting family. I can't recall a relative bringing home game or, you know, having that sort of history.
Okay.
So it was brand new to me. But I think just the age that I was, so I was a mom with teenagers and young adults, and the idea of hunting and bringing home the food, being out there, harvesting the food, bringing it and serving it was very, very appealing to me.
And you know what, for my wife and I, my wife does not hunt. However, we go to our property and we pick berries, which, and I know somebody out there is going to say, well, that's different. But the idea of having toast and jam in the morning from berries that I picked makes me feel whole. It makes me feel closer to nature, the same as like what you're saying. So that's something that I think we all have that urge, but some people don't. And you know what? Over all these years, I guess it's maybe just, you know, they've lost that urge to go hunting. Yeah. Now, what about heritage? I mean, this is something that's been going on for a long time. We've got, we were back in the 50s and 60s, we had, 50 or 60,000 hunters. Now we've got like a half a million or almost a half a million hunters. Heritage is important.
Absolutely it is. I can see it with those who I hunt with who have a history, how rich that is, how deep those family ties run when they have hunted and they have pictures of hunt camps and that sort of collective history. It's also great to be, you know, hunting in Canada when Canada has a heritage of hunting. And in fact, you know, hunting and trapping opened up the country. So yeah. there is a good feeling associated with it. It's not a shameful heritage. It's a proud heritage.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, right here in the Heritage Center, if you look at some of the photos, you'll see how these camps were family. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, the husbands, the wives, the kids. And even in a recent career that I had before this, I remember speaking to a young lad once, and he was telling me how exciting it was for him to go to the hunt camp with his father and his grandfather and grandmother and hearing the beagles howl in the morning and chase the deer. This is something that really, really moved him. And I guess from heritage, that takes us to the spiritual part of it.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, is that something that, and I'm not asking you if anything about religion, I'm asking you about your inner soul. Is this something that you feel when you go hunting?
Oh, it's very soothing. It's very soothing. I mean, you and I are up at goodness knows what time. You're traveling farther than I am, but I'm up at, say, 3:30.
Yeah.
So that's already a spiritual experience. But you're, you know, you're going in the dark and you're sitting there and you're all of your senses are tuned to what's around you, not to what you're going to do that day or what you didn't do or what someone said or what you have to, the bill you have to pay, but what was that rustle? Look at that horizon line come into view. Listen to the birds. See the birds go by. I mean, it's just such a deeply satisfying and spiritual experience. It's wonderful.
I couldn't agree more. I think for that one brief moment in time, you become part of nature, and really we are part of nature.
Yes, we are.
I'm sure that animals can probably get along without us, but I don't think we could necessarily get along without animals.
We will return faster than you can reload with more from Leslie Goodwin and Why We Hunt after these words.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pieser here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need, from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.98%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.98%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 on select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Why do we hunt? Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. Leslie Goodwin is in studio with me, and that's precisely what we're talking about on today's show.
But that connectivity to nature is really not only about us being closer to nature, but being part of nature. And what I'm getting at is animals in the wild live in the moment. They don't have retirement funds. They're not planning for a meeting. They live in the moment. They have food in that moment. They're alive in that moment. And when you're a hunter, you have the same thing. You are living in that moment. And people don't do that, do they?
Not at all. And, you know, people will say to me, why do you hunt? You could go to a grocery store. You know.
Which is true. We can go to a grocery store.
It's absolutely true. And yeah, I do. I do go to a grocery store. Thank God, because I would starve if it were not for farmers and grocery
stores. We're not the greatest hunters, are we?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I would be a hungry, hungry person. But it is that living in the moment, that tuning your senses to the moment and not knowing what's going to come along. Like, sitting in the deer stand in the fall, a grouse went by me very quickly, very, you know, it startled me. And it was just wonderful.
You know, yeah.
That sort of thing really puts you in the moment. And as you say, you're just another animal in the forest. And it's...
That's right. That's right.
Everyone should do it. Everyone should try
it. I think everybody should try it at least once. Now, camaraderie, we spoke about ourselves going turkey hunting, and that's a big part of it. And with families, going to hunt camps and that sort of thing. One thing I found with the youth hunting, really, really neat how, you know, the kids interact with each other and how they look up to their mentors. And I mean, to go hunting alone is an experience. And I think a lone wolf kind of idea, like the bow hunter and that, definitely in play. But camaraderie, I mean, really.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you and I enjoy. Have you been practicing? Have you been doing your calls? And I've seen a field we should ask about. You know, that's a lot of fun. I really look forward to it. I watch some YouTube videos in preparation. I mean, just pulling on everything. I'm sure my husband gets this tired of listening to me practice my calls. I'm not great on a good day. But it's all part of it. And then the office chatter, as you know. As the season draws near, there's so much talk. And then, you know, as the season opens and turkeys start being harvested, it's such great fun.
Yeah, every day we're asking, you know, did so-and-such get a turkey? Did so-and-such get a turkey? Which is really cool. And the idea that people do, you know, it gives people a chance to get out. No different than maybe going out and playing golf, which, by the way, I have no interest in. I'm too consumed with my hunting and fishing. So I think we agree on all of that. Now, genetically, I think that we're geared to hunt, and we've kind of touched on the fact that our ancestors did this, and that's one of the reasons why we do it. The same reason why if you have a Labrador retriever and you throw a stick, it goes and retrieves it. It genetically wants to go. It's something that its parents did. It's something that it wants to do, something that we want to do, something we're wired for.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Because before we culturally developed stores and cities and, you know, alternative ways of gathering food, you would have had to have an instinct to do it or we would have perished, I presume. I can't say that I, prior to hunting, felt a need that there was anything missing, that I had to do this thing.
Right.
So I can't say I was always driven to hunt. But when I'm hunting and I hear something that I think is my turkey or my deer,
right,
the adrenaline kicks right in.
Yes.
I can feel the adrenaline coursing through me. So male or female, I think we all can pull on an instinct or a genetic makeup to hunt.
Exactly.
It's in us.
And I think you really hit the nail on the head with that, those emotions that go through your mind. And I've been challenged on this type of thing even recently by somebody about how, you know, you're a hunter, you teach kids, you know, how to use firearms. How dare you? Had somebody in high authority challenge me on this recently. And you know, they probably, because they haven't hunted before, don't understand that hunters feel so many different emotions when they harvest an animal, which includes, by the way, excitement, remorse, reflection.
At the same time.
It's all at once. Yeah. When you shot your turkey,
powerful.
How did you feel? I can tell you how you looked.
Yeah, I was both ecstatic. It was kind of surreal. Like, finally this happened. You hear it happening to others, but I hadn't been even close. So for it to happen was a bit of a surreal. I also felt humbled. I always thank the animal, bird. I do feel grateful. I do feel humbled.
Yes.
And at the same time, proud. And it's a sense of accomplishment.
The sense of accomplishment.
And looking forward
to
eating it. You know, there's that. Now I can serve it to my family and my friends. And that, I really look forward to that.
Absolutely. You know, a student once said to me that the way he deals with it is, if somebody challenges him, his reply is, when I get hungry, something has to die. And it is true.
Yeah.
On this planet where we live, something has to die in order for something else to live, and humans are an intrinsic part of that. So in my closing, I would say that if you haven't tried hunting, surely give it a try. And if you've got any comments from today, I mean, Leslie at the Ontario Outdoors Magazine or myself at Angler and Hunter Radio.
We love to hear from readers. I'm sure you'd love to hear from listeners. You know, we're on social media every day. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Email. Phone us, write
us. Get in touch with us.
It's a great discussion, and I enjoy when people challenge me about hunting because it gives us the opportunity to talk about
in a mutually respectful way. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for joining us today, Leslie. I know you're really busy,
but
great conversation, and I know that we'll be having many more Moving on
and
into
not
the
too
future.
Long before we're turkey hunting.
Yeah, so, you betcha. Yeah. Thanks.
We'll be right back with part four of what is going on with Ontario's moose management. Proposed changes may affect your 2015 moose hunt, 2016 season, and beyond. Don't miss it.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence. Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pizer here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to the fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Lucky Strike flat bottom fishing net, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, a Fox 40 classic whistle, a full-size package of fish crisp, a pair of Strike King sunglasses, and Team OFAH Camouflage Lumbar Pack. This membership package is a $245 value for $71.95. Care enough to join today.
Ontario's freshwater lakes provide countless opportunities for recreational activities. But invasive species threaten to invade our ecosystems and pose a significant threat to our aquatic resources. Four species of invasive fish known as Asian carps are steadily moving north in large river systems from the United States. If they become established, these voracious feeders could devour the food sources our native fish depend on, devastating the $7 billion Great Lakes fishery and our ability to enjoy our lakes and rivers. Help prevent the introduction of Asian carps into Ontario waters. Report any potential sightings to the Invading Species Awareness Program hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit www.invadingspecies.com. Together, we can keep our lakes great. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program in partnership with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters and the Invasive Species Centre.
Hey, Mike Miller here. You know, I'm constantly traveling all over Ontario in pursuit of its plentiful fish and game. At the same time, I'm contributing to its preservation every step of the way with my BMO Bank of Montreal OFAH MasterCard. That's right. Every time I make a purchase with my BMO Bank of Montreal MasterCard, fish and wildlife conservation gets a helping hand. So whether I'm filling my truck or buying ammo for big game, I know I'm helping preserve Ontario's most precious resource. You know, over the past 25 years, the OFAH and BMO Bank of Montreal have raised almost $1 million to protect the rights and traditions of hunters and anglers just like you. What a great opportunity to contribute to conservation. And there's no cost to you. Help us continue to preserve and protect Ontario's most precious resource and the rights of hunters and anglers by applying for your card today at bmo.com/OFAH or by calling 1-800-263-2263.
Welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio's exclusive feature on moose management in Ontario. Joining me today is Mark Rickman, Senior Wildlife Biologist with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters.
So welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio, Mark. Welcome back.
Thanks, Randy.
So tell us about these proposed changes for the moose hunt.
Sure. The
The proposed changes actually occur in two parts. The first part would take effect in 2015, and the other part wouldn't take effect until 2016. For 2015 specifically, the ministry is proposing to reduce the open calf season to a two-week period, starting in the third week of the current gun hunt. So in 2015, that would actually open on October 24th. So calf hunting and calf harvest would be completely prohibited during the early bows only season and during the first 2 weeks of the current gun hunt, and also for the remainder of the season after the 2 week calf season closes. So there would be a 3 week bows only season,
okay,
beginning in September, followed by 2 weeks of the gun hunt that are adults only, mm-hmm, bulls and cows, and then followed by 2 weeks where any moose can be harvested, including calves. And then that would close after 2 weeks, and then the remainder of the season would play out where it's adults only.
Okay, so the idea would to be to try and preserve some additional calves for future seasons. Is that the idea?
Absolutely, yeah. Ultimately, this is supposed to reduce the overall calf harvest so that more calves survive to be recruited into the population.
In theory, yeah. So, okay, so what does the OFH think about this? Like, what, any comments or...
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, we have to congratulate and recognize the efforts of the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry for finally, after years, making progress on, you know, the Moose Project, as they were calling it. Hunters have been calling for this in some areas for, you know, 3-4 years. They were starting to feel like their pleas were falling on deaf ears. So we have to recognize that and appreciate that the minister did prioritize, you know, this consultation and is finally making some progress on it. With respect to the proposal, the Federation recognizes that many units would benefit from a reduction in calf harvest. However, we feel that a two-week calf season is overly extreme as a first step. And in fact, we actually, the Federation actually recommended a 4-week calf season, which would provide some level of protection for calves, while also ensuring that licensed hunting isn't restricted any more than absolutely necessary.
Right.
So it's kind of a cost-benefit thing. And you know, in the spirit of adaptive management, it's, you know, we recommend trying one thing first and, you know, take 2-3 years to look at it and see if it's having the desired effect. And if it is not, then at that time you impose further restrictions as opposed to going all the way in the first shot.
So talk to me about that timing of the proposal. Why is the MNRF proposing to start the calf season the third week of the gun hunt instead of the first?
The MNRF actually does have some data to support that recommendation with respect to beginning it or opening it in the third week of the gun hunt. The temporal distribution of calf harvest shows that most calves are actually harvested, or the bulk of calves are harvested during the first 2 weeks of the gun hunt.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
makes sense because yeah. that's when the vast majority of hunters, or the most hunters, are on the landscape. So if you're going to, just theoretically, if you're going to prohibit calf harvest for any 2 week period, then you save the most calves by prohibiting it during the first 2 weeks of the gun hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our problem, like I said, with a 2 week calf season is that we might see it as, or we might see a drastic increase in hunter densities during that 2 week period.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden you have, you know, maybe 50,000 hunters who aren't associated with an adult validation tag and whose only option is to harvest calves or to hunt calves. And they're all required to hunt in the same 2 week period across Northern Ontario. So, you know, we fear having hunters crawling all over each other in the bush. And even just from the hunter's perspective, it's, you know, it's going to reduce flexibility in accommodating, you know, work schedules and hunting preferences in terms of, you know, the weather and even just weather fluctuations and things like that.
Right, right. Yeah, and I can see that. I can see mm-hmm. that happening. So moving on to 2016, what's next?
Yeah, well, if that first part of the proposal wasn't confusing enough.
I'm in the dust.
Yeah, yeah, it's about to get a little bit more confusing. So, the proposed changes for 2016, if you imagine that the calf season restriction is still in place in 2016, so it's still a two-week
right.
calf season, the government is proposing to layer on top of that a delay of the opening date for the moose season by 1 week. So the bows only season would be delayed by 1 week, and as a result, that would push everything back, okay, including the gun hunt, by 1 week. And the government is proposing this in order to reduce the potential for hunters to interfere with moose breeding at the peak of the rut, which typically occurs in the the last week of September, first week of October. The theory is that fewer hunters would be in the bush disturbing breeding moose at the peak the peak of the rut. So supposedly this will ensure that as many cows as possible get bred.
Okay, I can see that. So what's the OFAH's opinion on all this?
Well, we have major concerns with this aspect of the proposed change. The MNRF, to our knowledge, has absolutely no evidence to suggest that the current timing of the gun hunt in northern Ontario is having a negative impact on moose populations. And the Federation has always insisted that wildlife management be based on the best available science.
Yeah.
So in this case, the science doesn't exist. And furthermore, a delayed season, as I mentioned, in the focus group and in the provincial questionnaires, people were asked to comment on how whether or not they would accept a delayed season opener. And that wasn't supported. That a delayed season opener was not supported by either focus group participants or by respondents to the harvest management questionnaire. So they actually expressed more acceptance for closing the season earlier compared to delaying it,
right,
delaying the opener. So they would rather lose hunting opportunity or hunting time at the tail end of the season as opposed to at the beginning.
Right.
So our question is, if the science doesn't exist and the management option isn't supported by stakeholders, then why is it even being proposed?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I guess we'll find out eventually. We'll get some data, and this is going to be an ongoing thing.
Absolutely, yeah. This is, certainly isn't the last step in the Moose Project, I'm sure. And by the time the hunting regulation summary hits, the local hunting and fishing store and the MNR offices, people will know whether or not these proposed changes are actually going to be in effect.
Right. And this is very important stuff, not only, I mean, to the listeners that are active moose
mm-hmm.
hunters,
yep,
but it also has a social economic impact on all of us as Ontarians.
Absolutely,
yeah. And without getting into all those details, because I think that's another show, we'll definitely get you back as soon as we can get some more information, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Randy.
You're welcome.
I recently became aware of the world's declining honeybee population. Some say it could cause the demise of mankind. It truly amazes me how even the smallest creatures are so crucial to our ecology. What would we do without the natural world? I mean, seriously, without clean water, shelter, and food, we would cease to exist, right? Man is an intrinsic part of nature. We are the ultimate predator. It has only been over the past couple of hundred years that the concept of paying someone to process our meat has become an acceptable practice. In Ontario, some people still rely on harvesting their own meat for sustenance, while others believe it brings them closer to their maker. Whatever the reason, my regards go out to all of you who walk the talk. Be safe, and until next time, I'm Randy Jennings.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Canadian Tire. Check out our new hunting and fishing pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores. Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you? And by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence. Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Hey, you can also check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web at wrvoradio.com.